Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco, here with my co-host, Mike Valverde. Walker is on assignment, sick as a dog, so we hope Walker feels better. And Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm probably doing better than Walker.
Walker sent the world's worst selfie into the group chat.
Yeah, yeah. I'm doing pretty good. I'm pretty excited about learning about cricket here.
Yep.
So yeah, that's sort of been something that I've looked forward to today. So I'm excited about it. It's finally here.
Yeah, I'm feeling good as well. Boss is back at work, so I'm no longer the boss. Working normal 10-hour shifts instead of like 12. But yes, we thought, you know, there's the Super Bowl to talk about. There's awards. There's Bill Belichick getting snubbed, and we thought this is a great time to talk about cricket. So we've got Discord superstar and patron AK Magic here. AK told me about this when I met him at a 49ers game a couple years ago, and I was telling him before that I hear a lot from people, but he was really like, I want to talk about cricket. And I said, you know what? Hell yeah. So we scheduled this last summer. So AK, welcome in. Hello. Say hi to the folks. Where can they find you other than the Discord?
Hello. Yes. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. You can find me on X and Blue Sky, I suppose, and in addition to Twitter. That's pretty much it. I'm not really like super, I don't post a lot.
No, you're a responder, not a poster.
Correct.
Yeah. So I guess we'll start with what got you so interested? What has you so interested in cricket?
So I was actually born in India, and I came to the US like in 2001. So I was like about almost 8 years old. Actually, next week will be 25 years in the US.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. Can't believe it's been that long already. But basically, like, that was the first sport I like grew up watching, have vivid memories of like watching, sitting in like my living room on a much smaller TV than I have now. And I was like, okay, well, this rules. And obviously, like, I was there until like close to the end of my third grade. And I mean, that's pretty much all what the school kids play, like in the yard and stuff, or like on the street. It's cricket, cricket everywhere.
Cricket everywhere. So I got that. So early 2000s, like in Major League Baseball, because I feel like that's the easy equivalent, even though they're different games. It was all about, you know, like Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa. Who were the stars of cricket back in the early 2000s? Like, what were they kind of known for? Like, who were they?
Okay, so I distinctly remember in a collab between like TH Fantasy and I think FA. I don't remember which platform you ended up posting that episode on, but Shane did a preview on another Shane called Shane Warne.
Oh, yes.
He's a cricket player. Yeah, uh-huh. He's one of the greatest players ever. He's also like kind of like a rock star like look and mentality. And he's also just like a notorious partier. He was just like, but at the same time, he's like the type of guy that would have like partied the entire night before, showed up like hungover, and still destroyed the opposition.
I seem to remember he was an Aussie, right? I seem to remember.
Yes,
something.
He died. He recently died in Thailand because he OD'd.
Yes, I do remember Shane talking about that. Yeah, so he was like the guy. So
he was right. One of the guys. Yes.
Okay. All right. Cool, Mike. Do you have any questions before AK gets started?
No, not right now, but I'm definitely looking forward to learning.
Yeah, so cool.
Awesome.
So yeah, AK's got a whole show sheet, so I'm used to yapping, so just tell me to shut up if I interrupt you too much. You take it away.
Yes, and please interrupt me anytime you have questions, because it
sounds
can be a
good
lot.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna try avoiding comparing it to baseball, but it's gonna be inevitable because it's probably the closest sport like in the world that I know of that like they share similarities, but you'll see how I mean, they're almost entirely different except for the basic premise of there's a guy that throws the ball, there's a guy that hits the ball, and the team who scores more runs wins the game. That's pretty much it in terms of similarities.
Okay. So, all right. I have my first question. You said team that scores more points. One thing that I want to know. So you like, if somebody asked me, like, what's an average baseball score? I'd be like, 3-2. I want to know, like, in terms of scale, like, what's an average, like, cricket game final score?
So there's three different formats of cricket.
Oh, okay.
We're only going to focus on one, which is the format that's being played in the World Cup that's starting, like, next weekend, like Super Bowl weekend. And in that format, typical scores, again, this also varies significantly because cricket's a much higher scoring game than baseball. Mm-hmm. But it, like, usually you'll see games like between like 160 to 180.
Oh, wow. Okay. Alrighty, cool. That answers my question.
Yeah. But like the world record is like 318.
Okay. All right. So
almost
now,
double.
Now you can take it away. I just wanted a frame of reference before we got started.
Not a problem.
I do have a question about that. What determines those matches? So you have three formats of the game.
Yeah.
You have test matches, one day, and T20.
Correct.
What determines what's going to be played as far as one of those three?
So when cricket first became a sport, the only format that existed was the test match. And that has gone through different evolutions as well. Originally, it was like an untimed match. You keep playing until there's a winner. And eventually, like, it became like a 6-day match with like a 1-day rest day. So like 5 days of play with a day of rest in the middle. And now it's like the modern test match is 5 matches. And that was the original form of cricket. And that's where, like, it's still regarded as the highest skill level in the game because you're playing across 5 days. You have more and more opportunities for the, like, if you're the better team to showcase that skill gap, right? But it's expensive to play and maintain and build the infrastructure. So there's only a few countries, unfortunately, that can, like, actually sustain it and still make a profit, especially like in today's age where, like, social media and shorter attention spans. Who has the attention span to watch 8 hours of cricket a day for 5 days straight? Who can also afford to do that?
Yeah, that sounds like a lot.
Exactly. But you know what? I am a freaking sicko and I love that shit. But unfortunately, like with the time difference, because a lot of cricket playing nations are on the other side of the world, it's like during, like when we sleep here in the US.
Mm. 3 a.m. type of games, huh?
Oh, I have stayed up all night playing all nighters, like especially when I was in college and shortly out, like watching games before, but you know, whatever. I can't do that anymore. I'm in my 30s.
Yeah.
Like the first World Cup was in 1975, and that was in the ODI format, the 1-day format, because they're like, okay, we need to like bring about a new format that can like attract more people to the game, more. Instead of like people can't just be watching this shit for 5 days, right? So it's a 1-day game, but still it's a whole, it is still like a full 8 hours. It is long.
Yeah.
And then
Rob Manfred would hate it is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, basically. And then T20s, which is the shortest format of the game, and the average game takes about 3.5 hours. It's still longer than a baseball game, but like much more reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of cricket started being played like in the late 90s, early 2000s, but made its way to the international scene. And the first T20 World Cup was in 2007. And okay. So they've been hosting that format's World Cup every 2 years since, except with the exception of the COVID couple years. And then the 1-day World Cup, the ODI World Cup, that's every 4 years. But they're staggered so that they're never in the same year.
Interesting. I think I got it.
Yeah.
All right. So now it looks like we're going to start off with what exactly is cricket, the rules of the game.
Yes. So you have two teams of 11 players each. And the premise of the game is quite simple. There's a guy I'm going to say this only once. There's a guy that pitches, but the actual word in cricket is bowls, like with a bowling ball. There's a guy that hits. Again, I'm trying to use the baseball analogy, but in cricket, it's called bats. And the team who scores more runs in the game wins the game. So it's a very simple premise when you look at it from like at the highest level possible. But that's about it from where the similarities with baseball ends. So cricket's played on like a large oval field. And you guys can see it at the bottom of the first page where I have like a couple of, like the picture on the left is like the actual entire field. And again, sometimes cricket is super loosey-goosey with stuff, just kind of like soccer. And this is one of the few sports that there's no like regulation size for fields. Like it can't, like it must be minimum this or minimum that. But usually what you see is like international level stadiums where these high stakes games, like World Cup games and international tournaments are played. The fields are usually like a 65 to 70 meter radius.
Okay.
So about 200 feet, roughly, right?
Yeah.
Some sides are a bit smaller, some because it's not a perfect circle, it's like more of an oval. And in the middle, you'll see a 22-yard strip of clay with like some short grass on it. That's actually where like majority of the game is played, and the rest of the outfield is where like teams strategically place their fielders to like to try to catch balls and stuff like that, similar to like baseball, right? Like that's like so let's see, yeah. So and at both so the 22-yard clay strip in the middle is called the pitch. So if you keep see me, if you keep hearing me referencing the pitch, that's what I'm talking about, the center part in the middle, the clay strip. So on both sides of the clay strip, there are these three vertical wooden sticks that are hammered into the ground. Those are called the stumps. And there's two horizontal wooden cross pieces that line between the two grooves. You can see it in the second picture right there. Those are called the bails. And then in front of
I'm sorry, the what? The bails?
bails,
Bails. Bail.
BAILS. Yes.
Okay. That was the first word I didn't. I was like, hold on. All right. But no,
Yeah,
I see
no
it. And
worries.
for folks listening, we're gonna have links to these the images that AK is referencing so you can follow along.
I mean, I got him straight off the cricket field, like
Yeah.
Wikipedia page.
That's where I'm gonna get him too.
Perfect. Okay. All right. So on both ends of the pitch, there's a white line in front of the stumps, like a few feet in front of the stumps. So basically, so that white line is called a crease. But you don't have to remember that term. You don't like often hear it, like you'll hear it sometimes, but basically just know that those two white lines are there to maintain like a fair contest between the batter and the bowler, because the bowler can't cross the white line when he's letting go of the ball from his from the bowling end, and the batter can cross like his white line, the crease at his end, but in doing so, he's like putting himself at a big risk of getting like out, which we'll talk
Okay.
about later. But so in baseball, we have like, let's see, I already talked about this. This is okay. You guys with me so far about the actual pitch and everything?
Yeah, I mean the
And the field where it's played on. So in baseball, you know how like if you hit behind a home plate or like behind the first baseline or third baseline, it's a foul ball and you have unlimited foul balls, but you can't strike out.
Yes.
So in cricket, you can hit to any part of the field. Any part of the field is fair. Like behind you, immediately to your right, straight in front of you. That's why like there's two extra fielders. Like there's 11 on each side instead of the 9 for baseball, right?
Yeah. So yeah, 'cause that's with the oval shape, it's like any direction is fair play.
Correct.
Yeah.
So if I were to like quickly go through like how one ball is played. So let's just imagine like the bottom end, like the bottom like line of the pitch, the crease and the wickets. Let's just say that's the bowling end and the other side is the batting end, right? So what the bowler would do is, so in baseball, a pitcher just like, you know, winds up from the mound and then like throws whatever pitch that he and the catcher agree to the batter, right? And then but in cricket, there's a run up. Like the bowlers like run up, jog up, or walk up depending on what their style is, and then they release the ball to the batter.
Yeah, I've seen that where there's kind of there's th their wind up, yeah, is more of like a little run.
Right. And
Yeah.
it changes depending on like the style that you bowl. Like we'll get into that later, but that's basically like and then based there's a bunch of rules on like what is a legal like delivery or not, but we'll get into that too. But basically, you know, bowler runs up, you know, throws like pitches the ball and then the batter hits it and then they run and that's how runs are scored.
And they run between the...
Correct. Between the two white lines, between the two yes. wickets. You can okay. think of those as kind of like bases, like in baseball, yeah. if that makes it easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I have, like, I've seen limited cricket, and that's what I know is they start running back and forth. But right, that's all right. I know.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about like how like quick gameplay and rules now. Mm-hmm. So this is true of all formats. But so 30 before this part, at least 30 minutes before the game starts, the captains of the two teams walk out towards the pitch for the coin toss. The umpire, okay. you know, tosses the coin, and it's almost always the visiting captain gets to call, just like how the NFL games do it, right, for coin tosses.
Yep.
So whichever captain wins the toss, his team then gets to decide, like he decides if his team decides to bat first or bowl first.
Okay. So a lot guys, like that part. So yeah. That part's a lot like football.
Correct. Yeah. So, and that's when they also have to submit the playing 11 to the umpire, like the match referees and stuff. Be like, these are the 11 guys that are playing on the team today in this game.
Okay.
You have to be ready, like, no matter which option you get first, because cricket is a game that can... there's no domes in cricket. You always play with, like, open skies and sun and everything, right? So cricket's strange in a way that, like, weather has a huge effect on how the game goes. Because, like, say if it rains, they walk off for rain, and say it rains for an hour, and you come back and you resume play... The outfield could get a lot slower, which might make it harder to score runs, right? And the pitch itself might start behaving differently. So, like, the ball, once you bounce it, like, it could move in a different direction than before when it rained. And when the ball gets older, it does different things too. So there's a lot of, like, different science and a lot of, like, weather conditions. There's a lot of factors that go into, like, what you want to do.
Like if you know, yeah. Like if you know that there's bad weather on the horizon, you're going to want to bat first because you're going to be at an advantage when the bad weather comes in. Throwing,
pitch, bowling.
Bowling. I knew it wasn't pitching. So that's what yes. you're saying is that there is a weather strategy involved here.
Yes. Yes. There's okay. weather strategy conditions like. Not just like rain, but like if it's really cloudy, certain types of balls like move more in the air when they're released, and like only some bowlers have the skill to exploit that stuff. But if you have a team like in your team, if you have bowlers that can exploit that skill, then you want to bowl first because then the conditions are in your favor. So sometimes like this format of cricket T20 is already volatile because there's not a whole lot of balls to play. So mm-hmm. there's already not a lot of opportunities for the better team to set aside themselves and show their skill gap. And you have all these other extra factors that can come in randomly and just randomly fuck you over.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm seeing the extra layers here.
Right. Yeah. And that's why to this date, there has never been a repeat champion in this format World Cup, in the T20 World Cup. It has not happened yet.
Wow. Like no back to backs, or there's only been like no back to backs. Okay, wow, that's
and wild. The most anyone has ever like, and there's only three countries that have won more than one: England, West Indies, and India. Every other country that's won has only won one. Granted, it's only been out for 18-19 years. This World Cup, that's like what, 9 different editions.
Yeah, West Indies though is that like a secret powerhouse? Because I know about like India and Pakistan and like England being like cricket like things, but I didn't know about the West Indies.
So basically all of the countries that are known for being good at cricket, you can directly trace it to British colonialism.
Yeah. Okay, so West Indies would be on that list. Got it. Okay.
So yeah, and the West Indies are not just one country. It's a set of like Caribbean nations. So like you mm-hmm. have Jamaica, you have Barbados, you have like St. Lucia, Antigua and Barbuda, you know, etc. Like a few of those countries, cuz any one of those countries can't produce enough players on their own cuz they're so tiny, but like honestly, like the West Indies like ruled international cricket for 2 decades between the 70s to like the early 90s. They were like the powerhouse. And then just
really,
it's sad. Like, yeah, they just started running out of money. So they lost infrastructure. So like, it's sad, but like they're a shell of what they used to be. But
oh, so they're like the Bulls.
Except that there's no salary cap and stuff, but like, yeah, like, or like, I don't know, like the 40s Browns.
Gotcha. Okay. Now I got
like the Jim Brown Browns, you know?
Yeah. Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. All right. So we were talking about, before we derailed you, we were talking about running between the creases. I think that's where we were.
Yeah. You can, they also say I think the more often used term is running between the wickets, but technically you rerun between the creases because as soon as you ground your bat behind the crease, you're safe. Like that counts as a run there.
Gotcha. Okay.
But, yeah. Okay. All right. So we talked about the coin toss and like who gets to decide who bats or bowls first. So in baseball, there's 9 innings, right? In a regulation game where, you know, you swap between pitching and batting, right? And you keep going back and forth. And at the end of the 9th inning, whoever has more runs wins the game. But in cricket, there's only 2 innings. And that means the first innings is when the first team gets to bat, and the second innings is when the second team gets to bat.
Okay. So there's no top and bottom.
Yeah. Like when you bat, you're making your runs for the entire game in that innings.
Mm. And then you're done. And then you're on.
And then you're done. And now you have to. And if you're the team that batted first, like then you have to defend your score, and you have to limit the second team from surpassing your score.
Got it. Okay.
Because if the second team surpasses your score, the game's over. They've already won.
Yeah. So there's no like. Yeah. So it's kind of like sudden death when the second team goes, because as soon as they pass that score, you're done. There's no rebutting.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. And so each team in baseball gets 3 outs per inning, right? And like 9, so like 27 outs in a regulation game. In cricket, you get 10 outs for your entire time you're batting.
Okay.
So basically how batting works, I mentioned how there's 11 players in a team, right? There's two batters out at the same time. It's not like in baseball, there's one batter that comes out at each time, right? And then like if there's a base runner, then they stay on base. But in cricket, there's only like 2 bases, like the wickets, right? And there's 2 batters always, right? So after you lose your 10th wicket, you can no longer get someone from your team to bat, because you can only have like you'll only have one player out there. So that's the rationale for like, once you get 10 outs, like your batting is done, because there's only one batter left, right?
Got it.
So in T20, you bat until you lose all 10 wickets, or you run out of legal deliveries. There's a finite amount you face. So you have to play like that risk reward game of like, do I risk? Because once you're out, you're done. You're done for the inning. You're done for the game.
Oh, okay. So as long as you like, you can like declare yourself done running, and then if you loop back around, you can keep batting, or like once you're done running, you're done as well.
No. Like,
okay,
you bat, like when you go out to bat, you stay there and you bat for as long as you can until you either get out or until your team runs out of deliveries to face, because that's the end of the innings.
Gotcha. Okay.
I mean, there's also the option for you to retire yourself out, but you almost never see that happening.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine you could do that in baseball too, but you never see it, you know?
Right. I mean, you see it in like random exhibition games where like, I had my fun. I'm going to give someone else a chance.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I my idea is taking hold of what the sport is.
Right. So in this format, each team gets 120 legal deliveries to score as many runs as possible, as long as they don't lose all 10 of their wickets first before the 120 deliveries run out.
Okay.
And we'll talk about what exactly a legal delivery is in a second, but this is like the basic parameters of this format of the game. So you have 120 balls and 10 wickets, and the math is score as many runs as you possibly can.
All right.
And you have to, and you have to play that like risk reward game of like, oh shit, like is it worth going harder like now, or do I like conserve my wickets and like accelerate in the end? So there's different strategies, and there's a lot of them that are viable. So we talked about how now the batters stay until they get out or until the innings is done, but the bowlers change. So how cricket works is that like each bowler can bowl 6 legal deliveries at a time.
I'm following.
And after that, you have to put in someone new to bowl.
So you get 6 deliveries, that 6 legal deliveries, which we'll get into, and then that's, you're done. You're done for the day. Not for the day.
Bowling. You're done at that point. You can come back and bowl again, but you're done. Like, you can't bowl the 7th ball in a row.
Okay.
And so a set of 6 legal deliveries is called an over. Like OVER, like I'm over it, right? So if you're talking about 120 legal deliveries and you get 6 legal deliveries per over, if you do the math, that's 20 overs, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why the format's called T20.
Because once those 20 overs are done, then that side is done.
Correct.
Got it.
Okay. So now we're getting to the point in my Google Doc about the bowling stuff. We'll talk about more like the specific rules around bowling and stuff.
Got it.
Okay. So one thing, bowlers, you cannot bowl underhand. It must be overarm, like overhand. This actually not that long ago became a formal rule. Because like when cricket started, it was like a gentleman's game, and you have like a gentleman's agreement to, you know, like play fair and stuff, right? Like that, right? And there was a World Cup like 40 to 45 years ago where the match came down to the very last ball, and the team that was batting needed to clear, like basically hit the baseball equivalent of a home run to win the game.
Okay.
And the bowler was like, fuck you, I'm going to bowl underhand and like make sure you can't get any elevation on it.
And that's when they were like, okay, guys, you can't do that.
like, everybody was so pissed, like even like the captain of the team, the guy that did it, but like you can't be mad at him because he didn't break the rule, right? Because there was no rule for it. And then, but there was always like this gentlemanly agreement, like that's against the spirit of the game. You know how like baseball has some of those unwritten rules? This is like the same thing where like the spirit of the game nonsense, right?
I was going to say the cricket equivalent of like AJ Pierzynski or Madison Bumgarner were furious because the unwritten rules were broken.
Do you remember Nigel Morgan?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So, massive asshole. Like someone like that, right?
Yeah. The cricket equivalent of that. Okay. I got it.
Basically. And then after that, the umpires were like, no, fuck this. We're changing the rules so you can't actually do that.
Okay.
Which is fair, but like, it's still really shitty that happened, but you know, whatever. Okay. So there's also other rules about like specific form where you can't really like bend elbows a certain way, or you can't bend your arms a certain way when you're releasing the ball. Like it more or less has to be straight.
Okay. That was going to be my question.
You don't have to get into all of that.
Yeah. I was going to ask if there was like the equivalent of like a submariner, you know, and like people who are thrown at different angles, but it sounds like you have to be pretty straight up with your arm angles and everything.
So there are some people that do like sidearm, like okay. But they keep their arm straight, so it's legal.
Okay, got it. Okay.
So there's 2 main types of bowling. There's fast bowling and spin bowling. A fast bowling, think of it, it's really simple. Like it's a guy that's throwing like that's bowling really fast, like usually like 90 miles an hour or something. Okay. And what the cricket ball is actually heavier than a baseball. It's like made of like it's made of the core is made of like cork, and then there's like leather outside it, like, and like the fielders don't actually wear gloves except for the wicket keeper. We'll talk about that later. But like when the balls hit at you, if it hits your body, that shit fucking hurts. As someone that actually had that happen to him, that shit hurts.
I believe it, because it sounds like you're getting like between a baseball and like a pool cue is what it sounds like when I hear it get hit. Like it sounds almost like a gunshot kind of. Like it's rough.
Right. And then, so you have spin bowling, which is like guys that's like bowl slower, like usually like in the 50 to 70 mile an hour range. But they try to like trick the batter like more in the air, like with more movement and like, and like, oh, and that's another important thing. In cricket, you almost always see the ball bouncing before it reaches the batter, before the batter can hit it. That's almost always how it goes, because the way like the way it works, right, like if they keep throwing you balls that don't bounce, it's extremely easy for batters of the highest quality to just keep on like clobbering you, especially with like how heavy the cricket bats are. Like they're quite heavy and they're made of like strong like willow wood. So like they can just like hit you all over the place if you keep throwing those. So like a lot of like bowlers like bounce the ball
before. Got it.
And like, with spin bowlers, it's especially helpful because they can turn it like after it bounces, it spins in various directions based on like how clever and skillful they are to cause even more confusion like to the batters, right?
Yeah, because you can do like I'm guessing based on like the way that the cricket ball is spinning, it will affect the when it bounces, it will like buzz off in random directions based off of that.
Yeah, like if you don't read it right or if you mistime it, like it'll just go straight up and a fielder will catch it and then you're out.
Which that actually brings me to my next question. The ball itself, does it have like, you know, on baseball they talk about like reading the laces or what have you. Is it just like a round ball like a pool cue, or is there like dots on it or lines like a baseball that you can actually read that it's easy enough, or do you just have to pick it up?
So the cricket ball is like a sphere. And around like the circumference, but like the radius part of the circumference, I guess it doesn't really matter because the circle, the sphere is all even.
Yeah.
But there's like a set of stitching all around it. Mm. And this is more applicable towards like fast bowlers than spin bowlers. But the way they can grip it and the way they can like present the ball when they're releasing it to the batter, it can do different things based on that. So the batters always have their eye on the ball, especially at the release point. Like basically to be like a world-class like batter at the international level, you need to essentially be able to see in the dark. You need to have insane eyesight because it's really hard to like, because that guy's 22 yards away from you when he's releasing it.
Yeah. So you're not reading the ball as much as you're reading the bowler's hand when he's throwing it, as it sounds like yes, you're doing both,
but like yeah. your first point of data is from when the ball is released.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cause like pitchers, like, you know, in baseball you hear about like tipping pitches, like that's a problem, but it sounds like that's not something you can't avoid.
Right. Like, yeah. Like, the catcher in baseball like tells the pitcher like, hey, pitch this ball like mm-hmm. like over there, right? But this type of pitch over there, no, there it's not like the keeper in cricket doesn't do that. The bowler has his own plans.
Got it. So the keeper is just there as a defender, not fielder. They don't collaborate. Yeah, a fielder, they don't collaborate.
They can, but you don't always like see it. Like it's usually the captain that comes up, like they come up with a plan to how to get this guy out.
Got it. Okay. Let me stop. Mike, do you have any questions so far? I know you don't interject a ton.
No. Well, a little bit. The question I have is, you know, like throwing certain pitches for baseball will have a lot of torque on a pitcher's arm. Is that one of the reasons why they interchange them so much? Or what's the reason why they only have a certain amount of actual releases?
Like you only have to get the six valid throws, yeah, or bowls,
right? Like at least for like fast bowlers, it's really demanding on your body, especially like your back, because like you're running and then you're like jumping, and while your front foot is landing, that's when you're like generating all the momentum to like bring your like rotate your arm over and like actually release the ball. So it's you see a lot of like all like fast bowlers end up getting like back problems later because it's just hard not to.
Okay. I figured it was a remnant of something or other, but it's an actual like physical limitation. Like I'm sure you'll start to get exhausted or it's to limit injuries. Okay.
Yeah. In this format, you don't see injuries as much. Mm-hmm. Like unless like the ball hits you somewhere where it shouldn't. Right.
Yeah.
stuff like that. But in the longer, in the longest format of the game, where guys bowl like 20 overs in one day, so you're bowling like over 100 balls by yourself in one day, and then you have to do it again like 2 days later. That's when like you have to worry about their workload.
Oh my god, yeah, that sounds like 1890s baseball shit. Like, you're gonna throw an 18 inning game and then you'll be back out there 2 days later, but it's every throw is like a running throw with a much heavier ball. Like, that's that, I can imagine why that has so many more injuries.
Right. So you have to be really like teams now with like more data and stuff about injuries, like they're very careful about managing like their best fast bowlers, because like those are the guys that like the best fast bowlers are the types of guys you want, because they can travel anywhere, they're good on almost any kind of surface and condition, and they're the ones that like they're the ones that will put you like give you the better advantage to win tournaments. So you want to keep those guys fresh and like manage their workload.
Gotcha. And then I forget, not speed bowler. What's the opposite of a speed bowler? A spin bowler. Yeah. Those guys are more, you're like crafty guys. Like you can work them a little bit harder, 'cause it's not as bad on their bodies.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay. Perfect.
All right. So yeah, we talked about how the bowler jogs or runs in before delivering the ball. So, their front foot, when they release the ball to the batter, they must have some portion behind the crease from their end.
So just any portion, like they could have a toe behind it.
Well, like even there's just their heel.
Okay. Okay. So right? What I guess I'm thinking of the pitcher release where they drag their toe, but you want like the heel would be the furthest back part of the body to land in a,
correct.
In correct. A, okay. In bowling. Got
it. You're running
okay.
towards it, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But if they don't, then the umpire will call something that's called a no ball, which means it's not a legal ball. That's a very big, big punishment, because the batting team gets a free run.
Oh.
Yeah, so they like get one extra run.
So the equivalent of a ball is just like a free run. Or I guess it's more like a balk. It'd be more like a balk, because it was an illegal throw. Yeah.
Kinda. And what's even nuts, what's even crazier, the next ball they bowl is a free hit, which means the batter cannot get dismissed. He can't get out. He can like just absolutely fucking wail on it.
Oh, hell yeah. So it's oh my god. Why am I completely blanking? I'm in cricket mode. When the defender jumps across the line, you get a free play. The hell
yeah,
is
it's offsides. It's basically offsides, like it's offsides, yes.
Yeah. My brain went cricket mode. I completely forgot. Offsides. But so yeah, it's like offsides. Like it's a free play, even if you're gonna go hard, because if you screw up, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. What's the point?
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay, that's cool. That's a cool little wrinkle.
I know, right? And it's actually like entertaining, because like everybody's on the edge of their seats when it's a free hit, right?
Yeah. Cause it can that's when things can go wild, because you don't have to be conservative at all.
Right. Yeah. So there's also other ways for a ball to not be a legal delivery. So if the umpire deems that the batter can't reach the ball, like when it's crossing them, that the bowler bowled, like if it's too wide in either direction, like if it's behind them, if it's like too far, like in front of them, or if it's too high, like up, like it bounces above their head, like when it gets there, they have every right to call it a wide. So that also awards the batting team an extra run, a free run. It's not a free hit, so like they can still get out the next ball, but you get a free run and you have to re-bowl the ball, right?
Okay, I see. So it's there are a lot. The reason these scores are so high is there's a lot of freedom in declaring runs for the batters or batsmen or whatever you would call them.
So I will say, hitting in baseball is a lot harder than hitting in cricket.
Gotcha.
But pitching in baseball is a lot easier than bowling in cricket.
It sounds like it.
It's like there's all these they've always wanted to make it like a even contest between bat and ball, but like with a lot of the rule changes recently, with like fielding restrictions and stuff, which we'll get to later, like it's I think the game has swung a bit too much in favor of the bat over the ball.
Okay. And I think that's the problem a lot of sports are facing nowadays is offense is getting prioritized.
Exactly. But, you know, points go burr, gets more money and gets more butts on seats. In cricket, we call this the batriarchy.
The batriarchy. That's good.
Okay. Oh, there's another way a ball can be a no ball, not just like the bowler's front foot not being behind the crease. If they bowl a ball that when it reaches the batter hasn't bounced and is above waist height, that's considered a dangerous ball.
So like a standard baseball throw, you're like, can't do that.
Basically anything in baseball that's like above the waist height for the batter, you can't do that in cricket.
Okay.
So because that shit hurts, man.
Yeah, they're trying to make sure you if you take one off you, it's off the shin and not off the gut or, you know,
right,
other places.
No, there's been players that have died from cricket before.
Jesus.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, the last player to have died from cricket was about like 10, 12 years ago. It was in like an Australian domestic game, but that one was very, very unlucky. Like the ball bounced but hit him like directly on a vein on the neck and it burst.
Oh god.
Yeah, that's like, never happens.
That's like the freak hockey death a few years ago where the blade went into the guy's neck. Like it's just a freak occurrence.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay,
it's completely legal and everything. It was just extremely like one in a billion unfortunate chance of happening.
Jesus Christ, that's horrifying. Yep.
Okay, so we talked about the waist high no ball. That's pretty much it from all like the legal deliveries. Like if you don't do the three things I talked about, it's basically a legal delivery.
Got it.
Okay, and what the next point is an important point. Any one bowler can bowl a max of 20% of his team's deliveries.
So that keeps from having one guy that's just like, you're gonna throw six, then I'm gonna throw six, then
and rotate. Exactly. So yeah, like you can't stack the team that you have nine batters and two bowlers and you just rotate the same two bowlers.
Got it.
You have to pick a balanced team because you need one player can only bowl a max of 20%, which means you need five full-time bowlers, right? Or like five guys that can bowl. It doesn't mean you have to be a full-time bowler, right? Or you have to be a specialty. Okay, anyway, that more or less covers the bowling stuff. Let's get into the batting stuff.
Got it.
Okay, so as we talked about earlier, any questions about the bowling stuff before we deep dive into batting?
I'm good, Mike. You?
Yeah, I'm good.
Cool. I hope this is making sense so far.
Mm-hmm. I'm following it. If I have any questions, okay. I'm interjecting. I'm trying to be the voice of the audience. So
that's good.
Yeah.
So as we talked about in batting, there's two batters on the field at any time, right? And which is also why we talked about, like, this is why we have 11 players and 10 wickets. If you lose the 10th wicket, you can no longer field two batters at the same time, and therefore your batting time ends. But basically, let's talk about how how teams actually score. So a batter scores by hitting the ball with the bat, and then you run between the wickets, right? So when both batters reach the opposite end and ground their bat or like their body, their body crosses that white line, that's one run, right? There's no limit to how many runs you can theoretically score in one ball. You can keep running back and forth like until the night ends, right? And you would have as many runs as possible, but that never happens because your ass is going to get run out by the fielding team in between one of those runs.
Gotcha. Quick question. It's when both players pass the crease, that's one run, or is each player that passes the crease one run?
Yeah. So like, say, Jeff, you're on one end and I'm on the other end.
Yeah.
It's only counted as one run when we each make it to the other side and ground our bat.
Okay. And so you have one batter standing next to the bowler then. And then you guys kind of, you run back and forth.
Correct. That's also like how you also like rotate strike, right? Like that's also like a very valid strategy sometimes. Like if you're a batter that's on strike, that means you're up to bat. Like at that, that's what on strike means. Like and you have a bad matchup statistically or stylistically against the bowler bowling right now, you see it all the time. Like, or if the or if your batting partner is better equipped against this specific guy or like against the style, you see it all the time. The guy just like touches the ball and runs a single to get his partner who has more of the advantage in this matchup the strike.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. So you there is a bit of strategy in there as well.
Correct.
Okay.
And then, so what happens is at the end of every over, so like after the sixth legal delivery, the field like literally flips. So like wherever the non-striker is, that becomes the strike end. The fielders like swap places, like they move in between, right? Like they basically get mirrored on the other side of the field, mm-hmm. and then the bowler bowls from the other end. That's to make it so that you're not like fully shielding one player. Like it's an equal, like both batters realistically have like as like 50% of the strike, right?
Yeah. So you can't hide a bad batter.
You can, but the only way to do it is to take a single off the last ball. So then you get to the other side, you get to the non-striker's end, and then boom, it flips, and then you become the striker. You only really see that like when like there's a batter and his batting partner sucks at batting because like all the other batters got out.
Yeah, it's like the worst guy. Barry Bonds and I'm trying to think of a bad guy.
Barry Zito.
Yeah, Barry Zito. Yeah, exactly. So they'll do that on the last pitch so that Barry Bonds stays at bat instead of Barry Zito.
Correct.
Got it. Okay. Or at strike.
And in those specific instances, teams bring all their fielders close in to prevent that from happening. You know, there's all kinds of like, you know, shenanigans and strategies. Damn. Like
this is like chess, man. All the little shenanigans. This is wild.
Seriously. I mentioned like the concept of the team captain. Being a captain of a cricket team is a whole nother job in addition to whatever your actual role on the team is, whether you're a batter or a bowler or the keeper, because you're in charge of all the on-field tactics. You're in charge of like which bowler is bowling this time. Where am I putting all my fielders at? You're essentially the point guard on the court. You're the coach on the pitch. Like it's such a massive responsibility and a huge honor at the same time.
Yeah, it sounds like you're kind of like the football equivalent of like a coordinator while being a player.
Basically, like there are coaches. Like teams do have coaches, but they're just like in like the locker rooms. Like they're watching it from like a press box or some shit. Like they're like there's the random like drinks break where like. Because you can't just play for 4 hours nonstop. You have to take like occasional like drinks breaks in between. That's when like the coach can pass on some like that's basically the equivalent of a timeout. You can like go and like be like, hey, do this instead, right? Like consider these tactics instead. But for the majority of the game, the captain is the coach. Basically, it's like, oh, this is what we're doing.
So coaches are not are. Let me ask, is it an unwritten rule that the coach isn't on the pitch, or is it a written rule that the coach is not on the pitch?
Well, I don't think they can legally be on the pitch. You can be close. You can be like 1 inch behind the pitch if you want to. There's nothing
against
that. But
it won't matter. But it won't matter.
Exactly. Because like they're 70 yards away. How can you yell?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Now I'm getting, now that the weight that a captaincy carries is coming into focus.
It's huge. It is actually big. I mean, for a long time, like some teams, like coaches weren't really like real like coaches. They were kind of just there to like hang out with the team and keep up morale, and the captain was like the one like doing like the X's and O's basically.
Gotcha. Like John Harbaugh. Yeah. He doesn't do anything.
Yeah. And I was gonna say Nick Sirianni.
Well, Nick Sirianni does not keep the morale up. Let's be clear.
That's true. But he doesn't do his X's and O's either.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, we talked about the batter scores by hitting the ball with the bat and running between the wickets. So there's also, and like however many times, like you, like if you just like make it to the other end and you ground your bat, that's one run. If you do it again, that's two runs in one ball. You can do it again in three. You usually don't see more than three manually run runs per ball, because like the fielders are too quick and fast. Like by the time you even complete a fourth run, like that ball will be like thrown back and you're at risk of being run out if that's the case. Like you usually don't see more than two or three and like run in between one ball. But fun parts, the really fun parts of batting are called the boundaries. So like the equivalent of a home run in cricket is called a six. That's when like a batter hits the ball out of the playing field without the ball bouncing. That's basically a home run, right?
Okay.
So every time you do that, you get six runs.
And automatically? Just
automatically added to your total.
Got it. Okay.
You don't have to run at all between six times.
And that's in any direction. I want to remind everybody.
Any direction.
Yeah.
360 degrees.
Okay. I got it.
And if the ball crosses the boundary, but it bounced before doing that, then it's four runs instead. Like think of it as like a ground rule double.
Yeah. So I'm taking notes here. I'm literally writing ground rule double equals six runs or four runs.
No, four runs basically.
Yeah.
But like it doesn't have to like. You saw like the green picture above of the cricket field. There's no walls that like prevent. Like there's no walls to. Like mark the boundaries, right? It's usually just like a big rope with like little like advertisements on it.
Okay.
So like it can easily just like roll along and just touch the boundary, right? It doesn't have to like bounce over it, you know.
Oh, really? So if it just touches it,
it's four.
Boundary. Oh, wow. Okay.
And if it like. If it hasn't bounced and bounces directly on it, then it's still six.
Oh, that's so. Okay. So if it hits the rope, if the first thing that the ball hits is the rope, then it's considered a six. Yeah.
Yeah. But if, okay. Even if it bounced like 1 millimeter before it made contact with the rope or crossed it, then it's a four.
Got it. Okay. I feel like there's a lot of consternation and hand-wringing about that in replays.
Yeah, that's like technology has gotten better. I can't imagine how shitty those decisions must have been like 40 years ago.
Yeah, just eyeballing it.
Basically, or like taking fielders for their word.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now let's get to the fielding stuff. So the entire fielding team, okay, when I say fielding, it's the same team, it's the same side that's bowling at that time, right? Fielding, bowling, like kind of interchangeably in this case. So all 11 are on the field for the duration of the opposing team's batting innings. Similar to baseball, right? All nine are out there. Except that these guys are out a lot longer than baseball because you rotate the innings. So. Yeah. You'll always see one wicketkeeper, and that's basically the catcher equivalent. Except the only difference is like the wicketkeeper in cricket doesn't really tell the bowler what to bowl. It's really up to the bowler and kind of like the captain and coach.
Is it rare to see the wicketkeeper also be a bowler, or do they kind of have like a specialty? Because I feel like if you're that close to a ball that dangerous, it's kind of like a specialized position.
So. That's a very good question, and I actually didn't write it because I wasn't sure if you guys were going to ask that. But when the fast bowlers are bowling, the wicketkeepers are like 10 yards back from the stumps.
Mm. Okay, so they give it
no
a little
fucking way.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
yeah. But when it's like a spinner, they're like right behind it.
Yeah, because they can because it sounds like with the spinner. It's a higher chance that the wicketkeeper is actually going to catch the ball in the air. Whereas with a speed bowler, you're not really.
You're right about the fast bowler part.
Yeah.
Cause like if you're going to be that close, it's going to be really hard for you to catch it.
Mm-hmm.
Because say what happens, like you actually see this fairly frequently, like, a ball is bowled. And the keeper misses it for whatever reason, whether it's just an error on his part or like the ball was just unreachable. You see it like going straight through, and like within a second, it reaches the boundary. That's 4 free runs to the team, and the batter didn't even touch the ball.
Oh my God.
Dang, that's crazy.
All right. Now I'm kind of understanding the wicketkeeper positioning. Strategy.
That's a very important position. Like yeah. those are specialized roles, because you need to be extremely good at what you do to prevent extra runs.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, those are the more specialized roles. Because I figured as much, right? Because they're the quite literally the first line of defense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you do see occasion extremely, extremely rarely a wicketkeeper coming out to bowl, but that's only happens like when the game is out of reach.
Okay. Like a position like, player pitching. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it only really happens. Like the only times I remember it happening are like the last career game for a couple of like notable wicketkeepers. Like they're like, fuck it, I'm going to bowl. Cause it's like the game's out of reach. It's my last game. Fuck it.
Yeah. This is something I've always wanted to do. Let me give it a whirl.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, substitute fielders are allowed. But like, say a player in your starting 11 like needs to go take a shit for 5 minutes. Sorry, Walker. Then they must be on the field for 5 minutes before they can actually participate in the game again. Like you can be, you have to be, you like however much time you're off the field, you have to spend that much time on the field before you can get involved in batting or bowling again. So you have to be really strategic about that.
Oh, but if you're okay. But if you say you're 5 minutes off, right, and the ball gets hit to you, you can still participate in that.
Yes, you can still field, okay. But you can't bowl.
Got it. Got it. Okay.
So sometimes what you see is like there's some guys that are really good at bowling, but really, really shit at fielding. So some teams use this as a loophole. They get their maximum quota of overs done soon, and then just be like, dude, go fuck off in the locker room so we can have an actual athlete fielding for you instead.
Okay, so like the equivalent of like a defense, that's a literal defensive replacement then.
Yeah, because yeah, like it's technically allowed within like the rules, but I have a feeling that's probably going to change in the coming years because teams are starting to abuse that.
Yeah, like if so, say for example, a team does that and then the guy spends 20 minutes in the locker room, something happens, he has to come back. He can't bowl for 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, got it. Or actually, he wouldn't be able to bowl because you were doing that because he hit his 20%.
Yeah, yeah. But he can come back to be a fielder anytime.
To be a fielder at any time. Got it. Okay.
So currently, the only exception for a full-on substitution where the incoming player can fully participate, bat or bowl, and do it instantly is because of a concussion.
That's it. Just a concussion.
Only a concussion. You can break your leg. Tough luck. You don't get a replacement. Like you don't have to participate in the rest of the game, but your team will be playing 10 on 11 the rest of the game, basically.
Oh my God. So like teams are like, it's the opposite of NFL. Teams are like, yeah, man, you got a concussion. Get out of there. You're not like, you're spinning the concussion protocol the opposite direction.
What do you mean?
Well, like, because it sounds like the only way you can substitute somebody is with a confirmed concussion, or if somebody's kind of
loopy, right. Yeah,
if somebody's kind of loopy, like, you're like, please diagnose this guy with a concussion. Whereas, you know, you've got like Brian Daboll just like smacking Jackson Dart on the head, being like, you're fine, buddy, get back out there.
Here's a smelling salt, get out there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. And actually, the concussion substitute rule is fairly recent. It's like the first ever concussion substitute played... 7 years ago, I want to say.
Oh wow!
But it's a recent rule.
Kind of close to around the time football started taking concussion seriously as well.
Yeah, and this is actually like in response to like that one cricketer that died like 10 years ago. I told you about like just now. Like teams were like, okay, we need to take this shit seriously. Like at least they do that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So they're covering
and the replacement player has to be a like for like, as in like you can't strategically substitute an extra batter or an extra bowler depending on where your team is at the match. If a batter gets concussed, you have to replace him with another batter.
Got it. Okay.
One that hasn't already like been out that game, right?
Yeah. So if you substitute him and it's a guy who's already used up his six or his legal throws, then you can't. What's it? The over?
Overs, right?
Yeah. Remember I said I'm trying to do this so people would hear it. So I'm trying to not look back at the document. So if somebody's used up their over, then they can't come back in as a substitute batter for the guy who got the concussion. Right?
Yeah. Is that essentially.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
But like, you can use your bench players for that. Like the players who are not in your starting 11, that you can do a full replacement in for a concussion substitute.
And I forgot to ask, how deep is the bench?
So in the World Cup, squads are 15 people. So you have your playing 11, so you have four bench spots.
Okay. All right. I forgot to, when you first mentioned the bench, I forgot to ask that. So,
because wicket keepers are so important, teams always carry a backup wicket keeper.
Okay. Like the emergency catcher. Got it. Okay.
Right.
I think I understand now.
And then there's usually like an extra batter, an extra bowler, and the last 15th person is whoever you think the best player is that you want on your team, on your squad for the tournament.
Okay.
Okay. So now let's talk about how batters can get out. There's a lot of ways, but there's only like only the first five bullet points, which we'll talk about, are the only ones you'll actually ever see. I've never seen some of these either, but it's technically possible. Okay. So remember when I talked about like the clay strip in the middle and the wickets right there, the three vertical wooden sticks?
Mm-hmm.
If a bowler hits those sticks with his ball, like when he balls it, then the batter's out.
Oh. So the batter's also playing defense against the ball.
Exactly.
Hitting one of those. Okay.
Exactly. He's protecting his wickets because and it has to happen naturally, right? Like someone can't just be like, oh, can't throw the ball and be like, oh, it hit the wicket. Like it has to happen because the bowler bowled it. Or like sometimes you see this all the time. Like it catches like the under edge of the bat and like it bounces back into the stumps. And like it's unlucky, but it does happen.
Okay. So would you say that is where would you, because you said there's five ways that you see them out. How often is somebody bowled out?
You'll see it. You'll usually see it in most games.
Okay. Okay. Got it.
But I would say by far the most common one is getting caught. Like the batter hits the ball and then a fielder catches it before it hits the ground.
Okay.
That's out. That's the most common way to get out. There is no such thing as a strikeout in cricket. You can play and miss all you want as long as it doesn't hit your stumps.
All right, that was I was going to try to equivalent the bowled out as a strikeout, like the strikeout equivalent, where the batter.
I guess you can think of it as the third strike.
Yeah,
because that is essential. The wickets are essentially the strike zone. I guess.
Yeah, I mean, this is really like stretching the cricket is similar to baseball analogy when it's very clear that it's not. But
I told you the similarities end with the basic premise and everything else is essentially the opposite.
Yeah, exactly. So I was just thrown for a loop with the idea that the batter is also defending against getting bowled out. Like that kind of threw everything on my head because I was just not prepared for that twist. So
right.
So we've got bowled and caught. So what else do we have?
So you have something called a leg before wicket. That's what LBW means. Mm-hmm. Basically, the bowler bowls the ball, and if the batter like blocks the ball with their leg or any part of their body that's not the bat, the bowler can then appeal to the umpire, be like, hey, is that out? And if the umpire thinks that ball was going to go to hit this was going on to hit the stumps, if the batter hadn't blocked it with his body, he can give it out.
Oh, okay, so you can't like kick a foot out to stop it from hitting the stumps.
You can if as long as you think it's not going to hit the stumps.
Okay. Now I get it. So but it's one of those things where I'm thinking about like like you're like, "Oh shit, it's going to hit the stump. Let me kick at it." That's illegal.
Yeah, because then you'll be given out.
Got it. Okay. I understand.
It's meant to prevent exact scenarios like that where like the batter's like, hey, you'll never get me out if I just park my body in front of the wickets, right?
Yeah.
And I can hit yeah, you exactly. as much as I want. And the umpires are like, not so fast.
Yeah, you can't be a goalie for the wickets, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. You're about to say something, Mike?
Yeah, that sounds like a very wide range of a judgment call.
Well, these umpires are extremely trained, and they usually they have well above a 90%, much higher. Like, they're very good at this.
Yeah, okay. Mike, don't forget baseball. They have to judge a magical floating box. So,
yeah, that's true.
that's a judgment.
Oh, important thing. Each team gets 2 reviews per innings. So if they think the umpire call is wrong, they can review and have a decision sent to the match referee, who has access to all this technology. You'll most often see it for these LBWs, because they'll be the batter's I don't think that's going to go to hit the stumps. I'm going to review it. And then there's technology that predicts it, and it's pretty accurate.
Yeah, that and hitting the rope feel like the two things that would be common
that,
reviews
all the time. Oh, and catches that are really close, what hit the ground first, the fingers or the ground or the ball, right?
Yeah, the cricket equivalent of Des caught it.
Yeah, basically. Except you don't have to make a football move or a cricket move. If you catch it, you catch it.
You don't have to make a cricket move.
All right. So you see this one, the next one, fairly often. It's called a run out. Basically, you're trying to steal an extra run, or that you have a miscommunication with your batting partner, and a team, and the fielding team throws the ball and knocks whichever wicket you're on before you cross the white line, which means it's basically caught stealing in baseball.
Got it. And so the defenders are trying to physically hit the wickets with, and I guess knock off the bales.
The ball.
Is that what?
Well, you have to. Yeah, yeah. If all you have to do is knock off the bale, you don't have to dislodge the stump.
Got it. Okay. I was gonna say that sounds like a lot of resetting the game if you're trying to dislodge the stump.
Actually, to get into the nitty gritty here, there's been times before where the ball has hit the stump, but it didn't dislodge the bail. So the umpire was given not out. It is extremely rare and unlucky, but it happens.
And so the bail has to, so in my question for that,
bail has to be dislodged.
Yeah. So it has to fall to the ground then.
Or it has to physically move. There's infrared lights and stuff that light up if it moves. And if you see the ball, if the bail light up, then you know it's out.
Okay, that was going to be my next question, was if it has to move, who judges if it moves? But if it's infrared, then that makes a lot of sense.
Or there's some light on there that detects it. It might not be infrared, but you get what I mean. Yeah. Okay, and this is the fifth and last, most common way a batter can get stumped. Basically, say they charge down the pitch and they try to hit the ball aggressively. It completely whiff most of, and a lot of times it looks very embarrassing and funny. The wicket keeper catches the ball and he just removes the bales. It's another form of a run out, essentially, but they call this one specifically stumped because the wicket keeper is the one that directly does it. It's basically another run out.
Got it. So they whiff, they fall on their ass. The wicket keeper just walks up and just kind of knocks the
thanks for
the
coming out.
Yeah. Thanks, boss.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I get it.
All right. These last four, we won't cover it for very long, but I mentioned how cricket is a loosey-goosey sport. These four highlight that. Well, actually, this one's kind of unlucky, but it's really funny. If a batter accidentally hits his own stumps, whether it's his foot or with the bat, he's out. It has happened before. A guy crouched backwards too much and his heel hit the stumps, and he oh dude, that's so sad, but it's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's sounds like the equivalent of a soccer goalkeeper whiffing his kick out and it just kind of falls back into the goal, and it's well, that's really stupid that you did that, but that's a run, or that's an out.
right. There's also obstructing the field. It's very, very, very rare. I've only seen it twice in my entire lifetime. It's a batter with intent tries to disrupt the fielding effort or play. It's kind of like interference in baseball, but like worse. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like you're running between the creases and you like go out of your way to like run into the guy trying to get the ball.
Like exactly. That's one way. Or like you see the ball is coming to you and it might hit the stumps. You like stick out your leg to prevent that from happening or something.
Got it. Okay. So it's not necessarily interfering with the fielder. You can obstructing the ball itself.
Correct. You're disrupting the play with intent to like save yourself. Like it's very like circumstance based, and the fielding team has to appeal to the umpire, and the umpire has to make the decision based on like the replays and stuff.
Got it. This is the don't be a little shit rule, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hit the ball twice. You cannot hit the ball twice. In for the same ball.
Hunter Pence is furious right now.
You can't just tup it up to yourself just to cue it up just so you can hit a massive dinger.
Oh, like you see those trick shots with golf where they kind of like and then just smack it out. Okay,
now exactly.
Okay, so you can't use your first hit to like reposition the ball for a better angle on it. Which
right,
honestly, I have a feeling that probably was a problem because. Somebody figured that out and then they immediately patched that.
Right. And this is by far the funniest way to get out. I've never seen it, but it could have happened once, but the team did the honorable decision of not to appeal. You can get timed out. You can take you can take too long to come out to bat.
That's awesome. Just like strolling out to the crease and just like, yeah, I'll get there when I get there. And then you just get out.
I think the official rule is you have to be like ready to come out within 90 seconds if it's your turn to bat next.
Okay.
Like you don't have to make it all the way to the center, but you at least have to be like walking towards it.
You have to be making a good faith effort within a minute and a half.
Exactly.
Okay.
But I've never seen it. I so badly want to see it once.
Yeah, just being the lazy ass rule. Just like, come on, brother.
All right, so now let's talk about some fielding restrictions. When I was talking about how like the patriarchy and like any questions before I move on?
No, I mean that section was pretty straightforward.
Okay, sounds good. All right, so some fielding restrictions. So there's this thing called the batting power play. Both teams get it, and power play is exactly what implies from like hockey. If you guys watch hockey. Mm-hmm. The first six overs for each team's batting, only two fielders are allowed outside of the 30-yard infield circle.
Oh, wow.
Which means it's like points go burr, because it's like just go all out in this first six, because like you might as well.
Yeah, so you have two guys that are covering the entire boundary, yeah.
The entire 70-yard radius, yes.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, so that is very much... points go burr.
Exactly. And the rest of the 14 overs, you have five fielders allowed on the outfield, which is far easier.
Yeah. That feels like just, you know, like more like baseball spacing to have the five. Yeah. Where you can, balls will land, but guys also have a chance at the ball. But two?
Correct.
That sounds crazy.
I know.
But it being the beginning, it's also like, hey, this is your first cricket game. Check this shit out.
It's essentially like cricket D-Day.
Yeah. Like,
first
all
six
right,
overs.
You're right in the shit for the first six
you're
overs.
At the mercy of the batters entirely.
That's crazy.
But okay. And there's also this extra rule of like, if the fielding team takes too long, because there's like time windows for like, how long the first innings is supposed to take, and there's a 10-minute break, and then how long the second innings is supposed to take. If the fielding / bowling team takes too long and they go past their allotted time to get through their 20 overs, they have to play the remaining however many balls they have left with only four fielders allowed outside. So that's the penalty.
Yes, that's awesome.
Like, that is fuck you for taking too long.
Yeah, watch check this shit out. How common is that though?
Oh, that happens all the time, especially
oh, really?
Like the last over. Oh, yeah. It happens all the time.
That rules.
Okay, so let's go through a sample game flow. So to make sure I didn't fully lose you guys anywhere, let's walk through a dummy game from start to finish. So team A wins the toss and they decide to bat first. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So in their allotted 20 overs and 120 legal deliveries, team A scores 170 runs with the loss of 7 wickets, which is like 7, which means 7 batters got out, right?
Yeah.
Then the scoreboard would read 170 and then the slash, like the divide sign, set 7. So the first number is how many runs the team scored, and then the second number is how many wickets they lost.
And I'm going to guess that that is the tiebreaker in case both teams get 170?
No, we will talk about that.
Oh, okay. I guessed wrong. All right.
But that is a cool idea for a tiebreaker, though.
Yeah,
like fewer wickets, reward the team that batted better. Yeah, that makes sense.
It feels like a fairly straightforward, like both teams got 120 and you know you were more efficient.
Right. But no, that's not it. But and then so team B then must score 171 or more to win the game mm-hmm. within their 20 overs. If team B reaches 171 at any point, the game ends, right? No need to play the remaining deliveries as they've already surpassed team A's total. So if team B gets to 171 or higher, let's just say they're 171 for 5, right? Then we say team B won by 5 wickets because they still had 5 batters to spare.
Oh, okay.
But if team B scores 150, and either they run out of balls or they run out of batters, doesn't matter how it ends. Let's just say their final score is 150. Then we say team A won by 20 runs.
Okay, so it depends on what you run out of, how it's like declared.
Basically. Yeah. If you bat first, your victory will be declared by how many runs you won by. And if you bat second and you win, your victory is declared by how many wickets you still had remaining and how many balls you still had remaining.
That makes that's a much better way to explain it. Almost like you know what you're talking about and I don't.
Right. A normal game takes about 3.5 hours, but it usually takes maybe 3 hours, 45 minutes with the breaks and delays and stuff to finish. So like slightly longer than an NFL game. It's basically like an NFL game with overtime, I would say.
Okay.
All right. So what happens if both teams tie, right? So this is where, this is one of my favorite parts about cricket. There's this concept of a super over.
Super over.
It's basically, think of it as exactly as college football overtime.
Okay.
Except instead of you starting from the 25-yard line, each team gets one over to bat to score as many runs as you can, and you keep rotating until there's a winner at the end of each super over.
So it's one team gets an over, then you rotate, then the other team gets an over, and if you're still tied, then it goes back.
Correct.
Oh wow, that sounds like a lot of fun.
it's like a mix of penalty shootout and college football overtime.
Yeah, that sounds like I think if I had watched cricket before, which you know I've only seen very limited cricket, that sounds like that would be the most fun you could have. Like a shootout type of deal.
So I'll talk about this more in a bit, but I actually went to see a Major League Cricket game. Surprise, America has a cricket professional sports league now. I went to, so they actually played in the old Oakland Coliseum because the Athletics don't use it anymore.
Yeah.
Rip. I went to a game and it went down to the last ball. I was so close to seeing a super over in person. So
how
close.
Common are they? How common are they?
Not very common. It does happen. There's a decent chance you'll see one in this tournament, but I wouldn't be like, oh, it's definitely going to happen. It could happen.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, well, right, now so now I know what I'm going to be on the lookout for.
All right. Now let's talk about this specific World Cup and the format. That first hour plus was just about the game.
Just about the game. Yeah. So you say that the World Cup, let's we didn't do a great job of saying why you're on the now.
Yes.
At this time.
Yes.
So yes, there is a cricket World Cup coming up.
Yes. And the U.S. men's team qualified for it.
Let's go. Is it made up a bunch of guys from Cisco like last time?
Oracle. Yeah.
Oracle. That's what it was. It was Oracle. Yeah.
Right. But so there's 20 countries playing. So there's four sorry, there's four groups of five teams each. The United States are in Group A, along with India, Pakistan, Namibia, and the Netherlands. So all over the world, right? You have an African country, a European country, a North American country, and two Asian countries.
Yeah. It sounds like being
So,
in India and Pakistan together is kind of a rough draw. Is
oh, we'll
that
get to that. We'll get to that.
okay?
All right. So the first stage is the group stage. Because the US men's team qualified for the top eight in the World Cup 2 years ago, they auto qualified for this World Cup. They didn't have to play the qualifiers and stuff. And they did that by beating Pakistan in Dallas, which is one of the most hilarious games and upsets I've ever watched. And it was amazing to watch.
Yeah, that was the one thing that kind of like with cricket that kind of broke through to the American zeitgeist was like, hey, wait a second, we shouldn't be able to do this.
Yep. I mean, Pakistan was ranked sixth in the world, and the US were like, what, 20th or something? But like, the gap is much bigger because there's only like eight countries that are actually like really good at cricket.
Gotcha.
But okay, so group stage. So each team plays each opponent in their group, straightforward, right? So each team is going to play four games in the group stage, and the top two in each group advance to the Super Eight stage. Right? You with me so far?
Yeah, it's you have pool play and then you move on to
Right.
yeah.
So the Super Eight is eight teams, and they're split into two groups of four. Each team plays the other three opponents in their Super Eight group, and the top two of each group advance to the semifinals, which is a single elimination. So
Okay.
there's, and then you have the knockout stage, two semifinals and one final.
Okay. And this is what T20 format
Yes, this
because
is
it's
all T20. This is
Yeah,
all
I couldn't
T20.
imagine
So
these being like 5 day games. So all
no,
these
no,
teams
no,
are
no.
playing.
There's no World Cup for the 5 day format. There
Got
is a
it.
championship where like teams, like countries play games against each other over like a 2 year span, and the countries who have the two highest like points table get to play the final every 2 year cycle.
Oh, that's
But it's
cool.
not like it's not like one tournament, right? Like you play throughout the 2 years
Okay, that's
in that
so
cycle.
there's no tournament at the end. It's the two best then square off.
Yep.
Okay, got it. All right, cool.
All right, so you might be asking, how do I watch this? Well,
Yeah.
if you're in the United States, unfortunately, your options are extremely limited how to watch this legally, if you catch my drift. If you want to watch this legally, you need access to Willow TV. I don't know if they have a free trial, but it's $9.99 a month. I pay for it because I'm a cricket sicko, and I just don't feel like finding illegal streams and stuff anymore, but I'm sure you can find it in certain subreddits if you know what I mean.
Yeah, there are ways. Go forth.
Correct. I'll share. Do you guys care if I tell you about like the subreddit for one of them?
Oh, go for it. No, it's fine.
For the longest time, like these like pirating like match stream links back when I didn't pay for like subscriptions like this. It was hidden behind a subreddit called Insect Enthusiasts.
Insect enthusiast.
But,
Because it's
and
cricket, yeah.
exactly. And the subreddit was just made to look like it was actually enthusiasts for insects. There was just like a bunch of like posts about like this insect and this insect. There's just one like pinned link for like stream links.
That is awesome.
But unfortunately, it was caught, and like Reddit banned it. I don't know what the new one is anymore.
That's like the Reddit equivalent of the guys I don't know if you've seen on Twitch who like they stream sporting events but they sit in the bottom corner with a controller like they're actually playing a game and it
Right.
like passes through the filter. That is insect insect enthusiasts rules.
All right. So I have a quick little fun fact slash trivia one question. Don't look, if you have already, then don't spoil it.
Okay.
Which two countries played in the very first international cricket match? If you want a
Ooh.
hint, the game took place in 1844.
I'm gonna guess, and I haven't looked. I'm gonna guess 1844. We're still in like very imperial mode, so I'm guessing it's gonna be something like England and Scotland or something.
That's a very, very reasonable guess. Mike, do you have a guess? Or did you already look at the answer?
I already looked at the answer.
Okay.
Okay. The answer is USA and Canada.
Oh, wow.
Exactly. That was my reaction too when I first found out. I was like, what the hell? it was actually played at the St. George's Cricket Club in New York.
Okay. So
that cricket doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. This is like the lost American game is what I'm hearing.
No,
here.
Seriously. Like, there's still an operating cricket club in Staten Island.
Okay.
Like, baseball started taking over in the 19th century, but before that, cricket was actually like a sport that was played in the American continent because, you know, like they weren't that far removed from, you know, British colonialism and settlement at that point, right? But the reason the game sort of died down is because it was mostly seen as like a higher class, a game for higher class people, where baseball is like anybody can play, right? So that's why like this started going both ways. But pre-Civil War, it was like people could probably tell you what cricket was. Americans.
That's really like my mind's a little bit blown, because if you were before today, if you were to say like, hey, like first international game, like I said, England and Scotland, and it would be like, did America ever like, was it there before? I would say probably not, because I would have to imagine it and baseball had like the same proto roots, and then baseball evolved here whereas cricket evolved there. But hearing that the first international match was American, I'm shook, AK. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I mean, basically that's another reason why cricket clears baseball, you know. all right, now let's talk about Team USA, the men's team. Okay. So as of yesterday and as of like 2 hours before now, the Team USA has not revealed their full 15-man roster for the World Cup yet. Like, they still have a little bit of time. They have until the end of this weekend, I think, to do it.
Mm. Okay.
And the tournament, important to note, this World Cup is jointly hosted by India and Sri Lanka. India are the current defending champions after they won the 2024 edition that was jointly hosted by the United States and the West Indies.
Okay.
And I mentioned before, no team has ever repeated as champions in this format of the World Cup. It's the most volatile format of the game, and chaos can happen at any moment. That being said, this Indian team has the best chance to repeat, in my opinion, because the roster is fucking ridiculous.
And let me ask, is it a coincidence that India is one of the co-hosts, or is it like standard that the champion is one of the co-hosts?
No, you bid like the Olympics in advance.
Gotcha. Okay, so it's just pure coincidence.
Oh, yeah. So the 2028 World Cup is being hosted in Australia and New Zealand. 2030 is in the UK. And 2032, I don't think they've gotten that far yet.
So the UK gets to do it on their own. It's not like the UK and France or something.
I think it's just England, honestly. Not even Scotland and Ireland.
Okay.
Or like Wales. I think it's just England.
Oh wow, they don't even the rest of the, so it's all these co-hosts, and then England's like, not even the rest of the UK gets to get involved.
Yeah, basically. Okay. So currently, according to the ICC, which is the International Cricket Council, the US men's national team is ranked 18th in the world in the T20 format. They ought to qualify for this World Cup because they finished in the top 8 in the previous edition, and they beat Canada and Pakistan in the group stage. They drew with Ireland because rain just ruled out any play, and they only lost to India in the group stage, and it was kind of a bloodbath. And then, so they made it to the Super 8 games, and they were paired in a group with England, South Africa, and West Indies, and they lost all three of those games. The South Africa game was actually pretty close. They could have won that game. They got a little unlucky towards the end, but they got absolutely blown to smithereens by England and West Indies. Like, it wasn't even close. It was like, thanks for coming, pal. It was very much big brother, little brother.
So I'm going to ask that, given the 2025 NFL season just ended, the way that American team went, what NFL team from the season would you say it was most analogous to in terms of how their season ended up? Like the Panthers, where it's just like, you got here but you don't really belong here, sort of deal.
Honestly, that is the best, because that is the best analogy, because the Panthers actually beat some really good teams in the regular season.
Yeah, like they took out the Rams and they almost did it again.
Right, and they beat the Packers in Green Bay.
Yeah. So the American, the 2024 American team was the equivalent of the 2025 Panthers.
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
I think that's a fair one. Like, you severely outmanned and outgunned, but impressive how you made it that far.
But you got there anyways. Okay. Got it. Okay. Yeah. So now I have the kind of the mindset of where the Americans are sitting or were sitting.
I mean, it's kind of like how we are the men's team in soccer. Like, we can make like a random round of 16 quarterfinal, but like, that's when the big boys, you know, like show us who, like, they're the big boys, right? Like Brazil, yeah. Germany, France.
Yeah. They're like, all right, that's cute, but watch this.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. All right. So the World Cup schedule for the US men's, I'm assuming you guys only really care about the men's, the US games. Their first game is February 7th, which is, I think, the day before the Super Bowl, right?
That would be next Saturday. So yeah, the day before the Super Bowl.
Their first game is against India in Mumbai. So that's a big fat rip. They are, I checked the odds this morning. They are plus 3,000 to win that game.
Wow. All right. So that is a big fat rip.
Well, like, I personally think that's way too much skewed in India's favor. And like, if you want to bet like a penny to make $30, go for it. but yeah, like I wouldn't be wagering real money on that game because there's no upside really.
Yeah.
And then they play next February 10th versus Pakistan. Now this, I don't think they'll beat Pakistan again, but if they want to make it to the Super 8, this is a must-win game.
And this is kind of like from the 2024, Pakistan's going to, they're going to remember because I have to imagine
they are going to remember.
Pretty embarrassing.
It's extremely embarrassing.
Yeah, to the Yanks.
Right. And then they play Feb 13th against the Netherlands and February 15th against Namibia. They should beat both of those teams. Netherlands could give them a good fight, but they should easily beat Namibia.
So I'm literally writing this down. So 7th against India, 10th against Pakistan, 13th against the Netherlands, and
the 15th
against Namibia.
Namibia.
Wow, my right. I cannot get my mouth around that. Namibia. There we go.
All right. Since we don't know the full squad yet, I'll talk about some of the main core players that were vital in the great 2024 run. You good with that?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. The hero of the 2020, there's two main heroes from the 2024 run. I'll talk about the batting hero. Aaron Jones, yes, Aaron Jones, the better Aaron Jones, the good American Aaron Jones, not the washed white Vikings running back.
Wow. Aaron Jones once liked one of my tweets on Twitter where I said, wow, Aaron Jones, and posted a play. So,
That's cool.
Well, it's just funny. He name searches and he's like, hell yeah, that was a good play.
Yeah. This guy was born, this Aaron Jones was born in Queens in 1994. Yet another Queens W, shout out Zoran. And he has parents from Barbados, which is where he got the cricket roots from.
That's cool. All right. So he's a Queens boy.
He single-handedly guided the U.S. to a win against Canada in the opening match. He faced 40 balls and scored 94 runs, which is an outrageous ratio.
So,
and that
real quick, I want to put that in context. What is like, you know, in baseball, it's like 300 is a pretty good hitter. Like, what's a good ratio for balls to runs? Like a pretty good 1.5. Okay. So that is okay. Got it.
Well, okay. Think about it. I told you like an average game is like 160 to 180, right?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
If he tripled his score, that's 280.
Yeah. He's if the whole lineup was made out of him, it would have been a huge blowout.
Oh yeah, it wouldn't have been close. That game, that performance is still his career best score to date.
Oh, so that's and why.
When he came out to bet, the US were plus 400 odds, and I took the bet immediately, and I cashed.
That rules. That's really good. I like it.
And unfortunately, as of literally yesterday, after I wrote this all up, he was charged by the ICC with 5 breaches of the anti-corruption code and is suspended with immediate effect because of match fixing allegations. Yep.
Jeez.
They don't want to see the Americans win.
Yeah.
So I think there's almost no chance he plays this World Cup, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. That's sad. I was like, God damn it. He was so fun to watch too. And he was also huge against in the win against Pakistan. Like, he hit a four off the last ball to force a super over, and the US beat Pakistan in the super over.
Oh, so they had one of the craziest shit you've ever seen games in the 2 years ago in the last World Cup.
Yeah. That's how they upset Pakistan. Yeah.
That rules. So it was pure. So the Americans, it was pure chaos ball is what I'm hearing. It was just like everything went right.
Basically. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Now let's talk about who I think is probably the Team USA's best overall player right now. He's a software engineer at Oracle. I will not blame you guys if you don't know how to pronounce his name. He's an Indian guy. His name is Shorab Netravalkar.
Okay.
And he is a really good fast bowler. Like, he's the one guy I can see, like, you can put this guy on a lot of the other international squads and he might actually make the team. Like, he's actually good.
So he would be the bowling MVP, whereas Aaron
yeah, he,
Jones
he definitely he was, yeah
whereas Aaron Jones, if he wasn't if they didn't weren't out for blood, my boy did nothing wrong, he would be the batting MVP.
He could be. He gotcha. Hasn't been like in great form recently. Maybe these match fixing charges explain that.
Oh yeah, that's suddenly not good. Great player, suddenly not good. Gets hit with match fixing. I take it back. He's not my boy.
I don't think he was ever a great player. He was a good player that had a great run.
Joe Flacco style.
Kinda, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, like, yeah, this guy, Netravalkar, the software engineer at Oracle, I think he's still there, by the way. I think he still works at Oracle. Like, imagine having a day job and, like, also being, like, representing your country at a World Cup.
Hey, boss, I got to take some PTO. I'm going to literally the World Cup to go play in it.
Right. And then another couple of players. So you have Andries House, like, G-O-U-S, but, like, pronounced like House. He's a South African-born like wicketkeeper, but he's also a really good batter. Like, he's the only reason the U.S. even had a chance to beat South Africa, his home country, like his birth country, in the Super 8 game. They were so close.
Was it because of his batting or his wicketkeeping?
His batting. He scored 80 runs in 47 balls.
Okay, so that's way higher than that 1.5. So that's
yes,
yeah.
Well above. Okay, yeah. So, and keep in mind, for context, South Africa was undefeated in that entire tournament, except they lost to India in the final. So they actually, like, the U.S. men's team almost beat, like, an actual powerhouse. And then Corey Anderson, this guy was born in New Zealand. He actually played in the 2015 World Cup for New Zealand. And then he met an American girl, fell in love, and she moved back to Dallas where she's from. He's like, fuck it, I'm going to move too. So he retired from New Zealand cricket and he's playing for the US.
Oh, so we got a defector.
You got a Kiwi.
Yeah, we got a Kiwi defecting to the Americans. That's so are the rules like you have to live in the country or?
I think you have to have some citizenship or something. Like, got I it. Don't know how long he had to be here, but he was in the World Cup squad. He was actually not that good in the last World Cup, but he is like, he's got actual like cricket pedigree. Like, he was good enough to represent New Zealand at the international level, which means like he's got actual talent. I just don't know if it was just a bad patch or not.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
All right. And then now the captain, Monank Patel. He was like steady. He was like the steady factor like throughout the last World Cup, and he was pretty good tactically. Like, he was huge in the game against Pakistan, like both his tactics and with the bat.
Yeah, I just want to remind folks the captain is like the cricket equivalent of the guy doing the bowl to bowl strategy.
Well, basically, like, harken back to the days of like player coach, like when Bill yeah. Russell was player coach for the Celtics. Like, he's basically that.
Gotcha. And so he's pretty good at that.
Yeah, he's a pretty solid captain. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I mean, you can only do so much when you're like outgunned talent wise, but I haven't seen anything from him. Like, this guy is a dumbass. All right. We can skip that last bullet point. We can talk about it later. It's already been an hour and a half. Do you guys want me to keep going? Do you want me to stop?
I was very intrigued by the geopolitical issues. So let's jump forward to that sort of thing. Cause it's like, we've got the ICC suspension. I guess here, your bullet points, ICC suspension, so do it in like one sentence. And then I want to hear about this, the geopolitical stuff. Cause you sure, DM'd sure. me, you were like, can I talk about that? I was like, brother, that's what I want to hear about.
Okay, cool. But yeah. Like the ICC suspension is more so about the USA Cricket Board and the struggles they've had financially in the last couple of years. Like the okay. US Cricket Board is in a horrible state, and the men's team, like if they, like they, it doesn't impact their future qualifications and stuff, but it does severely impact like laying down infrastructure and like trying to actually grow the sport in the country. Like, it's just it's hard right now. Like the US Cricket Board actually filed for a Chapter 11 bankruptcy in October 2025.
Damn. So it's like it's real rough go out there to create some sort of foundation for the sport in America, because the board is just like there's no support for it. Or
I just think there's a combination of that, like not enough support, and like they put a lot of eggs into the MLC basket, and they didn't do a good job enough of like making sure that generates enough money and interest and stuff. Because who the fuck outside of cricket fans actually knows that America has a major professional cricket league now?
I didn't. Mike, did you?
No,
Mike.
I was on mute.
Yeah, no. So yeah, so I think yeah, doing a piss poor job of it is
hurting. I mean, like the whole rationale of hosting, having the U.S. as a co-host of the last World Cup was to try to grow the interest in the sport in this country. Nobody knew outside of like people who are already like involved or associated with cricket, like in the fandom in some way, that the U.S. was hosting games. Nobody knew.
Yeah, and it really feels like they failed at creating, because there was buzz and momentum in the last World Cup because of how the Americans did, and it like they didn't build on that. There was there like nothing came of it. There was a few puff pieces like this guy works at Oracle and then that's it, and that's the last I heard of cricket until you were like, hey, I want to talk about cricket.
And what's even sadder is that so the 2028 Summer Olympics are hosted in LA, right? Los Angeles.
Yep.
So cricket was added as a sport, like the T20 format was actually going to be like an event where like countries could win like medals for, right? But now it's in legitimate jeopardy because of like all the mess up with the U.S. Cricket Board, because they're in charge of that stuff.
So what I'm hearing is this will come out to be what, two of the last three major international cricket T20 events would be hosted by America, and they could not create any sort of momentum or buzz inside the country for it.
Well, two of the last four, because there's the 2027 one day World Cup in South Africa, but yeah.
Okay. I did not know about that. So half of them by the time the 2028 Olympics roll around. See, that sucks. That's a real failure of leadership.
Yeah, it's very possible that you might just see cricket punted as an event until the 2032 Olympics, which Australia is hosting, so they have their shit together.
Yeah, they have their infrastructure and all that stuff in place to have a governing body and all that. So that really sucks, because it really feels like America shit the bed on that. I'm sorry. I'm upset. It's the only thing America's done wrong in the last decade.
Absolutely. or this month.
Or today.
Yeah, today. Yeah.
All right, now let's get to the fun, juicy stuff, the geopolitical issues surrounding this World Cup. All right. So Bangladesh had originally qualified for this World Cup, right? They pulled out, citing quote unquote safety issues for their players. But there's a lot to unwrap here. So I have a timeline, right? So there's this you guys know how there's the English Premier League for soccer.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Indian Premier League, but except it's cricket, and it only goes for 2 months out of the year instead of like the 8 month season of soccer, right? So there's an IPL team called the Kolkata Knight Riders, which is also like a sick ass like band name potentially, right?
Yeah, I'm looking up the logo right now because I feel like that could be really sweet. Unless I don't know if there's all right. Let's see. Sweet logo. I approve. Okay, continue.
They signed Bangladesh's best player to play for them this coming season. But there's been like Bangladesh. I don't know how much you guys know about them right now. There's like political turmoil and unrest. There was like an actual like full on like coup last year.
Hmm.
It's still quite unstable, I think, right now. I don't know the full current status, but in the last couple of months, there's a very small like Hindu minority, and like there's been some like religious violence against some of like the minor Hindus in the country. So India being a majority Hindu nation, the political party in power, they're like Hindu nationalists, just like how like MAGA is like Christian nationalists. Mm-hmm. The major political party, which is the BJP, and the different religious leaders around India heavily criticized KKR, the IPL team, who signed this Bangladeshi player, even though the Bangladeshi player did nothing to like didn't partake in any of this violence, right?
Yeah.
And they essentially like used their political influence and told the Indian Cricket Board, which is BCCI, like, hey, sorry, you have to release this player.
That's wild.
So they ended up doing it. You can't fight a government, right? You can't fight your own government.
Yeah. Right?
So this happened on January 3rd, like literally four weeks ago.
So and then this is like breaking like this month, sort of. That's wild.
Yes. Yes, this happened in 2026. So on January 4th, the next day, Bangladesh is like, okay, can you just move all of our games to play in Sri Lanka instead of India, right?
Because they're a fair
compromise-ish, yeah, right? But like, it's the World Cup starting a month later. It's a logistical nightmare to do that, right? This close. So the ICC was like, no. And then the next day, January 5th, Bangladesh banned the IPL from being shown on any nationwide telecast this season. So, and which it starts in like mid-March. So Bangladesh is like told all of their TV outlets, like, you cannot broadcast the Indian Premier League this season. Right? And then January 7th, the ICC rejects Bangladesh's request again, and Bangladesh refuses to back down. January 19th, ICC gave Bangladesh an ultimatum. You either play your games as they're scheduled or you're out. And then Bangladesh was like, okay, fuck you, we're out. So yeah. They actually withdrew, and ICC officially replaced Bangladesh with Scotland.
So they were like, well, sucks to suck, see you later.
Right. So Scotland was actually like the runner-up in one of the qualifiers, so good for them, they get their opportunity. In between ICC giving Bangladesh the ultimatum and them officially replacing them with Scotland, Pakistan like jumped in and be like, we're in solidarity with Bangladesh, right? And you already know like all the bad blood and the political like rivalry between like India and Pakistan, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
India and Pakistan haven't played each other in cricket outside of major tournaments since 2012 or 2013.
And aren't they in the same? No, that was
their neighboring countries.
Yeah, well, no, I was thinking that they're in the same pool, but that was America last in the last World Cup.
They're in the same pool again this time.
Oh, they are. Oh, yeah. No, India, because America plays India and then Pakistan. So yeah. Oh my.
Right.
That's spicy.
And basically, every single major international tournament since 2013, India and Pakistan have always been assigned to the same group. Group assignment is just quote unquote random, but no one buys that shit when it keeps happening like 8 times in a row, right?
Yeah.
And there's real reasons for this. Like it is the rivalry in cricket, right? It's like Steelers Ravens. It's like, yeah, Real Madrid Barcelona, right? It's that level of like rivalry. It's the rivalry in cricket. And because of like the political tensions and like the history between the two countries, again, you know, fuck the British Empire for being the kindle that started all this, right?
Oh yeah.
Which is a whole nother tangent, which we don't have time for that today.
No, we do not.
But basically, you want to make sure you have all your security and logistics set up properly. Because if they randomly end up playing each other in a knockout game where you don't have any time to plan for it, it's a big security risk.
Yeah, it's like Lakers Celtics, but if there is a huge history of
war.
Yeah, gestures to everything that went on after the British pulled out of the subcontinent. Like,
wow, basically. That's crazy. Like,
and
like,
also and also for financial reasons, because that is a money printing machine, India versus and games.
Oh yeah, you have to imagine. Yeah, those internationally, if they're like the two, I assume they're two of the best, if not the two best, like two of the top five, I would guess, in any given year.
Pakistan's probably a little bit lower now because they're
a little bit lower.
Like, yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, so it's not only is it must-see TV for the history, for the matchups, for the, I mean, I hate to say it, the intrigue, but for their usually two good teams, but there's literal bad blood between them.
What's sad is that, like, the players, like, in the Indian cricket players and the Pakistan players actually get along fine. They're, like, buddies on the field, like, hey, what's up, dude? How are you? How's your family?
Yeah, but yeah.
It's all driven by politicians.
Well, that's like, you know, you know, I have a feeling like there's a lot of countries in the world that, you know, countries are hate, but if it was an average person, they wouldn't hate them. So, yeah, you have some odds here. It looks like India's the biggest favorite here.
Wait. There's still one more layer of geopolitical stuff.
Okay.
This one's actually kind of funny. So after Bangladesh like pulled out and Scotland replaced it, so India and Pakistan have like an agreement that's approved by the ICC is like, we don't play games in each other's countries. That's why Sri Lanka is a co-host. So Pakistan's playing all their games in Sri Lanka. But they entering the tournament, like before it was even like fully planned, all the games were planned. Everybody knew that. So it was easy to plan for and account for. Now Pakistan is potentially threatening to pull out of the World Cup because they want to make some bullshit like political statement, right? I'm calling their bluff. I don't think they're going to do it.
Nah, right? I think they're trying to support Bangladesh, but when push comes to shove, I have to agree with you.
I don't think they're going to do it. But if they do, you want to hear something really fucking funny?
Yes.
Their backfill would be Bangladesh, and they just play those games in Sri Lanka.
so I really
hope it happens in a way.
So if all bluffs get called, or if all bluffs get called and Pakistan pulls out, then Bangladesh gets what they wanted to start with.
Yes, exactly. Which is so hilarious to me.
That rules. That is amazing. Oh my God. That's the perfect capper on it. So now you've got some odds here. You say that India is the biggest favorites. At plus 125. That is wild.
For the whole tournament.
Yeah. That is crazy.
So the odds makers are basically saying like India is basically 50-50 to win the tournament. And honestly, like they have home field advantage, like home court advantage, and they have like definitely the best team on paper. But that's still too ridiculously overpriced because of the volatile format and nature of this format.
Yeah. I feel like in any, like it's not a tournament, like there's round robin, all that stuff, but any event like this being what plus 125 versus the field essentially is that's
exactly
too much. That's crazy.
It's like how like 10 years ago there was that Kentucky team that was undefeated entering the tournament and they lost in the final four.
Yeah,
the Arizona or Wisconsin, one of the two. But like it's kind of giving that vibes. Like honestly, right now, like India look pretty fucking invincible, but anything could happen in one bad game.
Yeah, I mean, flukes happen, freak things happen. So
right,
yeah, plus 125. That's basically saying no freak things will happen, and I would never.
Or they're saying again, like they're that good, even freak things they can overcome, which is I think that's overrating the team.
Yeah,
despite me rooting for them, I am being objective here. Like that's too much. I think Australia is pretty solid value at plus 350. I think they're clearly the second best team, and they have. Australia is like the fucking Patriots of cricket. It's the history of cricket World Cups. It's either Australia that wins it or the team that beat Australia wins it.
Oh, okay. So they're a superpower.
They are the superpower. Like in the one day World Cup, they have six. The next best country has two, India and the West Indies.
Oh, damn. Okay. So that sounds like maybe India is, they're trying to juice some bets or something. I don't know. Maybe it's because the home country boost, but yeah, I agree. Look, I think Australia would be.
I will never count Australia out in any tournament until they are eliminated. It's like the Brady Belichick Patriots. It's like until they are dead and buried, you can't count them out. And the most recent heartbreak I had in cricket was the 2023 World Cup, which India also hosted, but it was the one-day format. They look like the most historically juggernaut team. Like they look like a historical juggernaut, India. They were winning. They won 10 games, all 10 games leading up to the final, and like more than half of them were like blowouts, like the 80, like how the 85 Bears were winning in their season. If you guys look up their scores, right? Like
just like boot to throat. Yeah.
There was like bell to ass. It was like, thank you for coming. I hope you enjoy our country. And then they played one bad game in the final and lost to Australia. Wow. And that I'm still not over that, like 2.5 years later.
That's wild. Well, I couldn't possibly imagine going up against a juggernaut and getting pissed. Anyways, I'm glad Patrick Mahomes tore his knee up. I will never forgive the Chiefs for taking out my Niners. So there you go. And then Sri Lanka, you said they're just being disrespected.
Yeah, they're at plus 3,500. I don't think they'll win it, but plus 3,500 is ridiculous. I think they're basically the same level as Pakistan, and Pakistan's a plus 1,600. So you might as well get twice the value if you want to throw in a little sprinkle and just cash out like when they make the Super 8.
Yeah, because same skill level roughly, but the odds are much, much better. So
and their co-host, like they'll be playing their games in their home conditions on their home turf.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
They're getting like the home team like bump down instead of the bump up that you usually see.
Exactly.
All right. So Walker does have some dispatches from the bathroom. A couple questions.
No problem. Yes. All right.
First question is, who should I root for and why is it the West Indies?
Okay. Well, the West Indies would be sick to root for because they were once like the powerhouse of cricket, as I mentioned, like from the 70s to the 90s, but they've fallen on hard times financially and they just can't support like the infrastructure that they used to be able to. Cause like all of these tournaments are intended not just for like to declare a winner and the champion, but also to like generate revenue for the sport. Right. But the profit sharing is heavily, heavily skewed. Like the three countries that get by far the biggest shares of money are India, Australia, and England, AKA known as the pig three.
The pig three?
Correct.
Oh, because they eat everything up?
Because they take a lot of the money.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I mean, what was funny?
It kind of makes sense because they also have the most revenue from like their country's audiences and stuff. But like, they could definitely put aside a little bit more money for other countries, in my opinion.
So they're the Yankees, Dodgers, and Mets. They're just outspending.
Yeah, everybody. Basically. Yeah. Basically. And if I wasn't born in Yankee country, I would not be rooting for them.
What was funny is Walker sent this message when you were talking about how the West Indies had fallen on hard times earlier. So second question.
Oh, was he listening?
No. Oh, okay. I just said, do you have any questions for AK? Okay. And it was just pure coincidence.
Got it. Well, Walker, the West Indies are two-time champions, but they haven't won since 2016. I can't see them winning it. A lot of their good players retired from the international team to play in these domestic leagues where they can actually make more money. Hard to blame them, right? They need to provide for their families.
Yeah. You know, you got to use your talents at a certain point to not for national pride, but to put some food on your table, you know?
Right. Would I rather get paid like $100,000 for a tournament or would I rather get paid $3 million for like 3 months of work?
That's tough. That's a real tough question. Kind of like how old soccer players leave Europe and then they get paid like, I don't know how the money in MLS, you can make like $30 million a year or whatever. I don't know where that money...
They get paid a lot more in like the... the best players in the premier European teams get paid a lot more than MLS players.
They just come to America for funsies then.
They come to America for retirement.
Yeah, okay. Got it. All right.
MLS is the retirement league.
it's the seniors tour. Walker's second question is, how do I get people in Michigan to give a shit about cricket? What's the best way to get people to care? Like, what strategy have you worked that works?
So I would say you have to work at the low level where, like, watch the games and then invite your friends over to watch the games and tell them like what the rules are and stuff. It's actually like this format of the game is actually really fun to watch because it's nonstop entertainment. Every ball is hit.
Yeah. Right? This sounds like a lot of fun. Like now that I understand it. And third question, do you think Walker would be good at cricket?
Walker's good at golf, right?
Yes, Walker is very good at golf.
So Walker, the way the batting stance is a little similar to a golf stance, but like instead, like you don't swing your cricket bat all the way like on your back and like let it go in one smooth flow. But like Walker would have enough like odd strength and back strength, like the batting stance wouldn't kill him. And I think Walker's young enough.
Perfect. So
back injury. So like with practice, I think they could do fine.
Perfect. So Walker, look out for Walker on the next US World Cup.
I don't know how far Walker lives from like Detroit, but I'm confident that there's like a bunch of like Indian people in Detroit that play like cricket like in local parks and stuff, like on weekends. They can just go play.
I can tell you, Walker lives in the middle of nowhere. Shout out Walker.
Oh, okay. Well, that's gonna be a lot harder then.
Yeah, a lot harder. So awesome. Mike, do you have any questions for AK? I've sprinkled all mine throughout, so I'm tapped out.
It's quite interesting how much I've learned. So thank you.
Yeah, this is the most fun I've had on an episode in a while. So I really appreciate you making sure that you're like, yes, I actually do want to do this. So
yes, it was my first favorite sport. I would like to spread it.
So my question for you is, you mentioned they're playing in India. So these American games, are they going to be on in the middle of the night?
No, actually, because these games take a lot shorter. I think they'll start like around 6 a.m. our time and from the Pacific time. So like East Coasters, like they'll be awake by then.
Oh, that's awesome. That's perfect, actually. So because I get to work at 7, so they could be like, what are you watching? I'm like, I'm watching cricket. Okay, leave me alone.
By far the simplest way, Jeff, is just downloading the Willow app directly on your phone and just like getting a subscription and then just canceling it like in a month or like whenever the US gets eliminated if you don't care anymore.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm definitely gonna get the Willow because I most definitely am going to be watching some of this World Cup. So actually, you know what? I'm gonna do that right now. So all right, well,
great.
AK, thank you so much for filling us in. Like I said, this has been very fun to learn a new sport. Tell me to install Fubo. Here it is. Willow, there it is. All right, perfect. All right, so any last words before we sign off?
I hope India wins, and thank you for having me, and feel free to DM me with any questions if you have about the sport.
Perfect. Sounds great. So for Discord, as I've called him many times, Discord superstar, AK Magic and Mike and Walker, sick as a dog right now. Thanks for listening. Take care and have a good one.
Feel better, Walker, and Dolphins are winning the 2026 Super Bowl.
There you go. Bye. Mike, you didn't say bye.
Bye.
Bye. 2026 Super Bowl MVP, Kyler Murray.